Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto all of you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Last year at Mount Moriah, Tristan, I sat down in front of four young confirmands, but there's not really enough room to do it. But it really is because they were the center of focus that day and no one else here. And that's what's happening here today. Today's service and today's message is not about them. It's about you. That's who the message is about. Today is a celebration, a day of celebration for you and your family, right? Of course it is. But you also have expectations like no more memory work and having a little bit more free time after school on Tuesdays. You don't have to answer that. Maybe you think this means that you are spiritually prepared for all the challenges that life's going to throw your way. I doubt it, but maybe. After all, you're baptized, you will soon be confirmed. What more is there? Well, the truth is that this is just the beginning of the adventure. Your lifetime, your Christian lifetime, is an adventure. It's not just a one-time celebration today and here. Think of it kind of like, I don't know, did I ask you if you've read the book or saw the movie The Hobbit? Okay, well, you're going to have to go and see it to really understand this. But think of it like the story about the Hobbit, where Bilbo Baggins, a young hobbit, and hobbits are about this tall, about the height of a four or five-year-old, are going on an adventure. That's what happened in the book The Hobbit. It's written by an English Christian author named J.R.R. Tolkien, and he was a friend of a famous English Christian apologist, one who defends the faith, called C.S. Lewis. And in this book, he goes on an adventure with a group of dwarves to do combat with a dragon and steal his treasure. And Bilbo is what they call the burglar. He's the one that's going to steal it. But the word adventure itself doesn't really begin to describe the life of a Christian today. It's bigger than any fantasy book or sci-fi movie like The Hobbit. We live in a challenging world, Tristan. Maybe even the end times, although no one knows the time or hour. You and your Christian faith will be put to the test, and it will be challenged. You will question your faith, maybe, and the Christian church. You will wonder. You will not always see the answers clearly or immediately that you're looking for. Some days, the God you thought you knew and was close will seem distant and unknowable, and his ways will not make sense. Your adventure will require faith, and it will not be without an element of danger. So what is the greatest danger and challenge? We all know that our nation and world are becoming increasingly more amoral, immoral, and secular, more apostate. You will be tempted to fall into big and grievous sins. Still, your greatest temptations and distractions won't always come from the secular world. Sometimes from within the organized Christian churches. There is a seductive and poisonous false religiosity out there today that tries to pass for true Christianity. This counterfeit Christianity would lead you to believe that the marks of a Christian can be found in alleged Christian gatherings where there is this merely Sunday go to church sort of attitude, kind of a pious attitude, exhibiting a veneer of religion but lacking in true content of the Christian faith. This type of Christianity applauds you for making friends with the world and sacrificing truth for a false peace or kind of a ceasefire. We call it an armistice in the military, a ceasefire like what happened between North and South Korea, a ceasefire with the evil in the world. It's a get-along, go-along Christianity that, like a chameleon, tries to blend into American culture. It doesn't want you to rock the boat. It doesn't want you to be the salt of the earth. It doesn't want you to be a light on a hill for unbelievers. This type of Christianity hopes that at the end of the day it can be said that a good time was had by all. It sees Jesus more as a figurehead, kind of like a logo that is stamped on the Christian faith, and no more than a magnificent example to be emulated, or maybe just another great philosopher, Tristan, to be listened to. This type of Christianity has none of the rugged devotion of the early New Testament Christian church. It knows nothing of the Jesus who tipped over the tables of the money changers in the temple and chased them out with a whip. It knows nothing of the Jesus who spoke truth to popular, misguided, and entrenched religious authorities and spoke with a prophetic voice to the secular civil authorities of his days. It knows nothing of a Jesus who said, "I come not to bring peace, but a sword." Matthew 10:34. It doesn't really know Jesus, and it certainly doesn't know him as Lord and Savior. But the Jesus we know wants you to know him as the Lord and leader of your life, as your Savior. And he wants you to be the salt of the earth. You see, it is Christians that add the flavor to the world. It is other people out there looking for hope that look to us. And when they see something different because of our faith, oftentimes that begins to turn them toward the Christian faith. And we become a light on a hill or a beacon to them. But you, Christian, must see past the confusion and pretense of this world and of these evil times. Christian, I have a riddle for you. Can you tell me what occurs once every minute, twice every moment, and never in 1,000 years? It is the letter M. Minute has one M in it. Moment has two M's in it. The words 1,000 years have no M's in them. The words of Jesus in our gospel text for today appear to have confounded the disciples, much like a riddle. To understand this, to understand riddles, consider the U.S., and by the way, I forgot to say, they've got a picture of Bilbo going on an adventure. Now we're down to this picture of this radio. The U.S. military uses a SINCAR's frequency hopping radio. It changes frequencies 111 times a second. And if you have several of these radios on a net, only one of them can be set as the master. And there are time hacks on all these radios. And the time of this radio must be within 3 seconds of the master radio, as must all the others, because they draw their data from that radio. You have to set it up properly. Otherwise, you can't talk to anyone. If you're off by 4 seconds, you can't talk. And the radio receives its programming, its encryption, if you will, we call it a fill, from a machine called a plugger. Now, unless the enemy steals a plugger and has a SINGAR's radio also, therefore, no one can talk to you. No one can hear what you're saying to other friendlies. What you say cannot be intercepted or understood. It's a riddle to the enemy, because of the encryption. Like the encryption of a SINGAR's radio, Jesus is speaking today somewhat cryptically. He's encrypting his message in our gospel text for today. He's trying to let his disciples know what to expect in the future, but he doesn't want to be too direct just yet. And so he speaks cryptically, as in a riddle. Jesus tells them he's going away and coming again. This is a euphemism, kind of a soft and indirect way for referring to the harsh reality of his death and of his resurrection. He tells his disciples that they will not see him for a little while. This is the encryption for the 3 days he'll be in the grave. But then they will see him again, Tristan, which is an encryption or reference to his resurrection from the dead. He tells them they will be sad at his death, but the world, those unbelievers responsible for his death, will be rejoicing, as indeed they were. But their sorrow will be turned to joy on Easter Sunday. Jesus is speaking prophetically here in a way that is intended to be vague, encrypted, until all things have happened. But when this prophecy is fulfilled, this riddle, in retrospect, they will then be able to turn and look back and understand it all and see it clearly. Why does Jesus need to encrypt his message? Why does he need to make it into this riddle? Perhaps this is to protect the battle plan of the Heavenly Father, to make sure that Satan doesn't figure it out and intercept Jesus and keep him from dying on the cross for the sins of the world. Could be that. Also, at one time, we know that Jesus, when he was too direct, told the disciples he'd be going to his death, and Peter got upset and challenged him. And Jesus had to say to him, "Get thee behind me, Satan." So maybe Jesus is trying to avoid more unnecessary melodrama on the part of Peter and protect the disciples from unnecessary stress or worry about the future and give them just enough knowledge so that when he rises, it will all become clear, like the light turned on in a dark room. Sometimes Jesus, Tristan, will work cryptically in your life also. It'll seem like a riddle. God's will and plans for your life and the things he lets you go through will at times seem like a riddle to you. The presence of God and his hand in your life will not always be felt and understood. God will take you on a roller coaster ride, and you'll ask God where he is. It'll go from joy to sorrow, to joy to sorrow again, through your life. At times you will look for him, and you will not see him. You'll be tempted to think, because things are rough, and you can't understand God's purposes, that he is not there. Why? Because Jesus takes us through the trials we endure. He allows us to search for him in order to strengthen our faith and affirm for us the source of that faith and the person and event that it is placed in. Because when our spiritual eyes lock on this cross, our faith is strong, and we will see, we will understand and appreciate God's moving in our life as never before in the light of the cross. Then on those moments when his will is clear and we are granted a glance, it will appear beautiful. To see with your spiritual eyes, you'll need direction. From where? On December 24th, 1968, three U.S. astronauts orbiting the moon looked down on the gray, desolate landscape. The commander described it as lifeless and forbidding. Yet in a few moments, all three saw something glorious that no human eye had never seen before. Rising over the horizon of the moon, suspended in the blackness of space, a small blue sphere appeared. And you've got it there. Amid all the gray and black that surrounded them, the beautiful, glorious Earth shone brilliantly. The Holy Spirit works to reveal Christ to us in a similar way. In the midst of our sin-filled, gray, lonely lives, the Holy Spirit works through God's Word, lifts our eyes up from the spiritual desolation of our world to see our hope and glory of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus says in our text of the Holy Spirit, he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This means that our hope and direction come to us by the Holy Spirit, who works through the Word of God, the Bible, to guide us into all truth. This truth is the help and direction we need. You see, Tristan, we're like young soldiers in training who are called upon sometimes to do what they don't think they can do. Part of Army basic training is to push young soldiers and show them they're capable of more than they think they can do. One of the training events we use for this at Fort McClellan, Alabama, is called the Night Infiltration Course, and you've got a little picture of that there as well. This is where, in the middle of a cold winter, after a cold rain had left deep puddles of water on the course, about 9 or 10 at night after the sun had set, we would ask soldiers to crawl through that cold, wet sand with 50 caliber machine guns fixed and firing 10 feet above their heads. All this with explosions in pits nearby them going off and spraying them with icy cold water. No flashlight. The drill sergeant was safely on the other side yelling to you over a loudspeaker. Occasionally there would be a petrified trainee who was afraid to make the crawl or got halfway through the course and froze. So, of course, they'd ask the chaplain if he could go out there and crawl through this wet muck and mire with the trainee, that was me, and help the trainee who was afraid. I'd either have to crawl by their side and take them through the whole course or go out there and find the one who had frozen, recover them, and get them to the end. That's what Jesus did for us and what the Holy Spirit helps us to see. Jesus took on human flesh and climbed into this cold, wet, muddy, sinful world with us. He called through the nastiness of life with us. He died as we will, but rose again as we will also. He now becomes our guide, our teacher, and it is his Holy Spirit who now brings us through the course of life and safe to the other side, where the warm, dry place called heaven waits for us. It's His Holy Spirit keeping us strong in our faith that helps us stay the course and get us through. As He keeps us focused on Christ, the cross, the empty tomb, and the hope of eternal life in heaven. You know, Jesus spent 3 years training the disciples' hearts for what was to come. For them, it was unclear because the cross of sacrifice was not the model they wanted. It's not what they would have chosen for their master or for themselves. But when Jesus' nail-scarred hands and feet were before their eyes after the resurrection, finally, the pieces of the puzzle began to fit together. Looking at their sin-tainted lives, guided by the Holy Spirit, they realized the new life God had given them, and that the cross, the suffering and death of Jesus, had been the perfect choice to accomplish their salvation. You know, Bilbo encountered many things during his adventure, which he and his compatriots thought would be their undoing. Yet there was a wizard named Gandalf who actually was intended by Tolkien to be a picture of Jesus in this story. And it was Gandalf that saw them through until they completed the adventure. Because of Christ and through faith, that which you may think is your end or certain disaster may likely show itself to be your crowning moment and salvation. As God reveals His hand in your life, Tristan, time and time again, at just the right time, not necessarily the time you want Him to, but at just the right time, and sees you through as well. He will use challenging events in your life to strengthen your faith because He wants to make sure you complete your course in this earth strong in your faith onto the day of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses only our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the true faith to life eternal. Amen.